Well, when Jesus speaks these words, the Last Supper has been shared. The feet have been washed. Judas has gone out. And they are left in this upper room. And the air is electric with some kind of anticipation of which the disciples know not. It is filled with anxiety because Jesus is saying what sounds like a goodbye. And they're sitting there hanging on every word in the context of this final meal, this final act of compassion, this final betrayal. It is a time that is heavy and full. And Jesus talks about the one thing that will bind the disciples together with each other and him with them, and then by extension, all of us together in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, under the authority of God and led by the Holy Spirit. It is indeed a heavy time. Throughout the Gospel of John, the word love is used some 58 times. It is the theme of John's Gospel that people simply love one another. John doesn't really get into all of the details and the administrivia and the questioning of the people around Jesus. John cuts to the chase and says, when you boil it all down, all the theology, all of the religion, all of the manifestations of people's faith in God, it boils all down to this one word, love. Love one another. And Jesus says, this will be the sign of you in me and I in you, that you love one another. That just sounds too simple, doesn't it, for those of us, particularly in the Presbyterian fold, who are the champions of education, and systematic theology is one of our favorite things to discuss. And how you believe and how you think has historically been so important to us. And then you had John Calvin, who came up with this idea of predestination, which tends to set us apart from everybody else. And that's too bad. I was not a great fan of John Calvin in seminary. Truth be told, I'm still not. He's a little bit too stern for my way of thinking. And John Calvin was saying, you know, some people are in and some people are out, and you can't change that. So just accept it. Well, I'm sorry, John, that just does not fit with my experience of God. People used to ask me when I was a hospital chaplain, do you believe what will be? Usually it was a Baptist or a Methodist who was asking that in order to differentiate me from them. Do you believe what will be? And I would say to them, I believe that what will be largely has already been. That always kind of got them. Kind of like Haynes up here who said, what? Well, you know, I don't buy into all of John Calvin's theology, and particularly that predestination bit, because my understanding of the life and the love of Jesus Christ is that in his atoning death on the cross, which was affirmed by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus did not say unto the flock of humanity, Let's see, you're a goat, you're a sheep. You're not going anywhere, you're coming with me. That is not the message of the Gospel of John, or indeed of Jesus Christ. He died for all. And he says, there is one sign by which each of you will know that you belong to me, and that is if you love one another. One of my habits, of which I've got quite a few, some of them not so admirable, but one of my habits is that when I go to bed at night and offer my evening prayers, I ask myself, where have I shown love today? And then there's the flip side, where have I not shown love today? And implied in these two questions is an idea of God's judgment. Where I have shown love, that's a brownie point in my favor. Where I have not shown love, well, that's kind of a frowny face in the book of life. Judgment. Let me tell you something about judgment that I have finally figured out, and that is that the love of God and the judgment of God are always reconciliatory. God's judgment is always having the goal of reconciliation, making things right. Not damning us for what we do wrong, but loving us into the compliance of the kingdom. God's love is not retributory. He's not out to find what's wrong with us and send us to hell for it. God's love is conciliatory and bringing us all together by bits and pieces and degrees. God knows that we are broken, and yet he still loves us, each and every one. You remember, what was that fellow, the Power of Positive Thinking? What was his name? Who? Norman Vincent Peale. And then one of his disciples was the fellow who had the Crystal Cathedral. What was his name? Robert Schuller, Bobby Schuller. One of my seminary classmates was well into Norman Vincent Peale and actually got a call at the Crystal Cathedral and worked with Bob Schuller. And I always thought that he was a bit of a, well, do they still use the word prep? You know, always wearing khakis and polo shirts, you know. Oh, he could go out and play six sets of tennis and not a hair would be messed up. He would not sweat. He might glisten a little bit, but he didn't sweat. And when I heard that he'd gotten a job at the Crystal Cathedral, I said, well, no wonder. Everything is wonderful in his life. Everything is great. And he's going to go to the Crystal Cathedral. And he's going to be working with Robert Schuller. And everything for him is roses and light. And then there's the rest of us who wound up in our first parishes, which were by and large country parishes, where there are wonderful people, but you have to learn in the country. There are certain lessons that are not going to be taught to you at the Crystal Cathedral, like how to slaughter a hog, how to dress out a hog, how to figure out when your well is going dry. All the wonders and the mysteries of septic tanks. You don't get that at the Crystal Cathedral. And your people at the Crystal Cathedral, they have their own set of problems, like somebody burned the biscuits, the turkey didn't come out quite as well as we wanted, the roast burned. In the country parishes, we had problems of mama's in jail again. It's kind of like the country western song. Somebody's in jail, there's a railroad involved in a pickup truck and an elderly dog who's on its last legs. Whole different scenario. Bob Schuller and Norman Vincent Peale were always looking on the bright side of life, and that's a wonderful thing, but it also neglects the seamy underside of life and the realities that we have to deal with. And we have to remember that between those two extremes, there is the love of God, which binds all of us together. The light and roses crowd and the darker side of reality. The love of God binds all of us together, and one is not better than the other. We're all broken, even those who are in the Crystal Cathedral. There are cracks in those panes. And guess what happened to the Crystal Cathedral? Well, after Bob Schuller was gone, it kind of fell apart. Because I think it may have been built on an illusion that if you just think positive thoughts, life will be wonderful. And it was for a while. But then that reality took a turn. And everybody had to start living life based on reality and the ugly realities of the world. And the one common denominator that brings us all together is the love of Christ. Now, the final thing I want to say today, because all of you are looking at your watches, is this. When Jesus talks about himself leaving but coming again, when Jesus talks about the love of the Father, when Jesus talks about sending another comforter to us, it is all with one goal, and it is to bring all of us into that holy fellowship of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the children of God who are part of the household. We don't need to decide who's in and who's out, because according to this, everybody's in. The beautiful and the ugly, the rich and the poor, the thin and those of us who are not so much. We're all part of the same household. One scholar even went to say, you know, instead of the Trinity, maybe we should talk about the quadrinity, because the children of God are all brought into that same household where in the fullness of time we will all live together. I think it's appropriate that on Mother's Day we talk about this love of God, which is our common denominator. The love of God, which helps us to stop majoring on minors and focus on the fundamentals. The love of God, which draws us all like that mother chick under the wings of God's providence and binds us all in the unbreakable and unshakable province that is ours. The love of God. The bridge which brings us into the kingdom. All of us. No exceptions. Now, maybe John Calvin. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your grace and your peace. We thank you for your love, which brings all of us along the road to eventually cross that bridge which leads into your kingdom. Father, we thank you for yourself, for Jesus, your Son, for the Holy Spirit, which is our comforter, and we thank you for each other, the fellow passengers and pedestrians along the road. Bless us, we pray, and guide us and keep us through the power of Jesus our Lord. Amen.